would, get your Bible out and have it ready and prepared to follow along as we study God's Word today. It's good to see everyone out and assembled to worship God in spirit and in truth. Thankful for your presence, especially if you're visiting with us. We hope that you will come back, be with us again the next time you have opportunity. As has been announced this morning and it's been out on the sign for a good part of the week this week, I want to talk about priorities this morning. And I want to start a little bit differently than I start with my sermons. I want to start by reading an article. It's the article that's on the front page of the bulletin. And I'm going to do you one better than giving you a bulletin this week. I'm going to read it to you. It's an article that I've had for some time and made use of before. It's a very good article, and I want to share it, and I want to share the lesson that comes from it with you this morning. The title of the article is Rocks in a Jar by Alan Smith. It says, one day an expert on the subject of time management was speaking to a group of business students, and to drive home a point, he used an illustration those students likely will never forget. As this man stood in front of the group of high-powered overachievers, he said, okay, time for a quiz. Then he pulled out a one-gallon, wide-mouthed mason jar and set it on a table in front of him. Then he produced about a dozen fist-sized rocks and carefully placed them one at a time into the jar. When the jar was filled to the top and no more rocks would fit inside, he asked, is this jar full? Everyone in the class said, yes. Then he said, really? He reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel. Then he dumped some gravel in and shook the jar, causing pieces of gravel to work themselves down into the spaces between the big rocks. Then he smiled and asked the group once more, is the jar full? By this time, the class was on to him. Probably not, one of them answered. Good, he replied, and he reached under the table and brought out a bucket of sand. He started dumping the sand in, and it went into all the spaces between the rocks and the gravel. Once more, he asked the question, is this jar full? No, the class shouted. Once again, he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water and began to pour it in until the jar was filled to the brim. Then he looked up at the class and asked, what is the point of this illustration? One eager beaver raised his hand and said, the point is, no matter how full your schedule is, if you try really hard, you can always fit some more things into it. No, the speaker replied, that's not the point. The truth this illustration teaches us is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in at all. And I like that article. I like it because it hits me. It's something I need to be reminded of from time to time. Every morning when we wake up, we have in the day that lies in front of us some things that are important for us to do. These are things that have to get done. And we also have some things that we'll do if we find the time to do them. Some things that we'd like to get done if schedule permits. And third, there are some things in the day that come to us out of the blue. Some things that we're not expecting at all, but we have to deal with them. We have to find space in our jar for them. And sometimes they're pleasant, and sometimes they're not so pleasant, but it doesn't matter. They've got to go into the jar. If you think about it, a lot of the time that we spend every day is time that we spend reacting to these things that come up unexpectedly. Now, some of us have the kind of personality that we want to put everything in a planner, and our day's got to go just like that planner says. And if it doesn't, our whole world is turned upside down. I'm related to some people like that. While they are very efficient, and they do a very good job of charting out their time, and they use it very efficiently, when things don't go as planned, they're not happy people to be around. The truth is, a lot of our time is spent every day dealing with the things that we don't plan to deal with. And in the illustration that we just looked at, that's the gravel and the sand and the water. Those things that we weren't really counting on. The jar is our time. And all of us had the same size of jar, 24 hours a day. Except yesterday, we had 25 hours a day. We had a little bit extra time. But most of the time, We've all got the same size jar, 24 hours a day, and we've got to fill that time getting things done that we have to do and facing the challenges that we have to face. The lesson that we learn is that if we spend all day dealing with the things that we never intended to deal with, then when we get to the end of the day and we pillow our head at night, we discover that we haven't done the things that we need to do. It's easy for us to become distracted in our daily lives. And over time, this daily distraction becomes a full-time distraction. And pretty soon we discover that we have lost our bearings somewhere along the way. We've gotten off track and we're not doing the things that we know we need to do. Pretty soon the day is gone and the days get shorter this time of year. And pretty soon the day is gone and there's stuff you still have to do. Pretty soon the week is gone and never got around to doing those things that you knew you needed to do. Time runs out. Pretty soon the year comes to an end. We've got two more months left in this year. Where did it go? It has flown by. What about your New Year's resolutions list that you had 10 months ago? How much of that have you not done yet? This year is getting away from us. We haven't done the things we need to do. Someday we'll get to the end of our life. And we'll look back and we'll wonder, where did it go? And if you think I'm stretching that, young people, talk to some who are here in our midst this morning who are older. And they will tell you that it goes by way too fast. And if we don't make it a priority and essential to get those big rocks in the jar to start with, they won't get in at all. I want to talk about priorities this morning, and I want to make it simple. I just want to talk about three things that have to be priorities for every Christian, for every child of God. Three priorities that we have. Number one, of course, our first priority has got to be God. God has got to be our first priority. In the book of Exodus at chapter 20, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them up to Mount Sinai, there he gave them the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And this was the first time that God had spoken verbally to every Israelite. Before that, he had spoken through Moses. But when they came to the mountain, every Israelite heard the voice of God. And the very first thing that they heard God say was, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." Look at where he started with them. First things first, I come first. That's what he taught the children of Israel. And of course we know that that's what he would teach us today. That's the standard that he would have for us today. God will not accept second place. God will not share first place with anyone or with anything. If God is not first in your life, I would suspect that he is not in your life at all. God must come first. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus taught his followers not to worry about things. What kind of things? What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Don't worry about these things. And then goes on to give several good reasons not to worry. And then he gives this instruction, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." What were the things? The things were food and clothing and shelter. Sometimes the things for us are needs. A lot of times the things for us are wants. But a lot of our day, a lot of the space in our jar is spent pursuing things. And Jesus says, no. You put God first. You put his kingdom first. You put his righteousness first. And these things will come to you. These things will be yours. That's the promise. How do we put God first? How do we make God's kingdom and God's righteousness a priority? Well, I believe it can start just as basically as this. Make it a priority to be at worship services every opportunity. Make today, November 3rd, 2013, the last day in your life that you ever debated the question of whether or not you were going to go to church. Make it a priority from this day forward that when the doors are open here at Norwood, you're going to be here. That you've made God and His kingdom a priority. That you're going to support the assemblies of His people with your presence. Make Bible reading a priority every day. I know that you're busy. I know you're busy because I am busy. And pretty soon we get to the end of the day and I haven't read any scripture today. No, make it a priority. Set aside time every day to read the scriptures. Do it in the morning so it's in your heart and in your mind all through the day. And meditate on Him. That's how we put God's kingdom first. Pray unto God. Make it a point to pray unto God every day. Not just when you're hovering over a plate full of food. In addition to those times, pray unto God. Promote the kingdom. Evangelism. That's how you seek first the kingdom of God, is do what you can to spread the borders of the kingdom. Talk with people about the scriptures. Invite people to come to worship service and Bible class with you. And how do we seek first the righteousness of God? God's righteousness, that is that standard of what is right, is set forth in His Word. Live it in your life. Make it a priority in your life to live what you read in the Bible. Defend the truth. Stand up for God's righteousness. I know that things are important and that we need some things in our life, but we need to have the right attitude towards things. The Apostle Paul considered things to be rubbish in comparison to Christ. He put Christ first. But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Jesus Christ came first, not things. Things didn't matter to Paul. He was willing to let all of them go for that first rock that needed to go in his jar for Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus was asked the question, what is the greatest commandment? In Mark's account of this exchange, Mark chapter 12 and at verse 30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. What's the first commandment? What's the most important commandment? What's the first thing to put in that jar? You love God with everything. All. No exceptions. You don't hold back anything from God. You give God your all. You love God with everything in you. And if we do this, John says in 1 John chapter 5 and at verse 3, we'll obey His commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. And we'll have more to say about that in just a moment. What's the first rock we need to put in our jar? It's God. When we wake up in the morning, the first priority we need to think of is God. In seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness this day. The second is like unto it. The second priority that we have, as far as I can understand the scriptures to teach, is other people. When Jesus was asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? He gave the answer, loving God is the first commandment, the greatest commandment. And then He added the commandment that goes with it. He connected it together with the commandment to love God. And that is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And said, there is no other commandment greater than these. And He joined the two together. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. And that means that other people must become a priority to us. Other people must be a priority. James calls this commandment in James chapter 2 and in verse 8, the royal law. The royal law, yes, because it was given by the king. The king has commanded us to love others as we love ourselves. Notice things haven't even come into the picture yet. So many of us fill that jar with the pursuit of things. We haven't even got the things yet. We've got God in there, and now we've got other people in there. Who is my neighbor? Jesus was asked that question in Luke chapter 10. was asked that question by someone whose heart was filled with prejudice, who did not want to do good to certain people. And you remember Jesus gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, and in that parable exposed the prejudice that lied in that man's heart who asked the question. And in the giving of that parable, he taught that our neighbor is the person that we see who is in need. That's who our neighbor is. And we are to do good to our neighbor and love them as ourselves. Specifically, who are some of the others that we need to put first? Who are some of the others that we need to make a priority? If you're married, obviously your spouse has to be a priority. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, the Apostle Paul said, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." If you're married, if you've been blessed with a husband or a wife, they are a priority. They are a priority. They are an object of your affection. They are an object of your time and your efforts during the day. If you have children, there's another priority, the parent-child relationship. Paul continues in Colossians 3, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Did you get that, young people, children? Obey your parents in all things, for this is pleasing to the Lord. You want to please God in your youth? You obey your parents. You do what your parents tell you to do in the Lord. It's as easy as that. It gets more difficult as you get older. It's easy now. Obey your parents. Do what your parents say. And parents, fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Titus chapter 2, that the young mothers are to be taught to love their husbands and to love their children. There's that bond between the parent and the child. There are responsibilities both ways. And so, that's a priority. That's a priority, our relationship within our families, in our homes. Our brethren must become a priority to us. In Romans chapter 12 and at verse 10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another." Giving preference. What does that mean? That means that I will stop and I will yield, and I want you to have your way. I want your needs to be met. For the sake of our illustration, your rock goes in my jar before my rock goes in my jar. Giving preference to one another. Others would be our brethren, and of course we can expand it just as far as it can be expanded. All people. All people are to be the objects of our priority. The objects of our desire to do good and to help others. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Our brethren should have a special place in our heart, but our willingness to do good to all, to do good, must be extended unto all. We are to make others a priority. Now, why are these two commandments the first and second greatest commandments? Jesus is asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? And I'm sure the one who was asking him expected him to go to the Ten Commandments and find the one that he thought was the most important. Instead, he goes to another passage in the Old Testament. He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. These are the greatest commandments. Why are they the greatest commandments? Jesus says in Matthew 22 and at verse 40, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Paul expounds on it a little bit further in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. He says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. All that God's law requires of you and me in our daily lives can be fulfilled if we would follow this one principle. We put God first, and we put all others second before us. If we do that, there's not a requirement found in this book that cannot be kept. Those are priorities. That's a way to start the day. Put those two rocks in first, and everything else will find its place. Everything else will settle its way into our jar, into our day, and we'll still do the things that we need to do to God's glory. There's a third priority I said I wanted to talk about, and that is ourselves. Ourselves. Now, I'm not talking about the person that approaches their daily life in a self-centered, self-serving, self-absorbed way, that they put their needs and their desires before all others, including their loved ones and including God. That's not right. And a person that lives like that, that's not the way to live. And the Scriptures teach that very plainly. But you know, you can take that to the opposite extreme, and it's just as unhealthy. What about the person that puts the needs of others first to the point that they neglect themselves? And they give of themselves entirely so that there's nothing left for them to do to meet the needs that they have for themselves. This isn't healthy physically. It's not healthy emotionally. It's not healthy spiritually. As I read through the Gospel of Mark, I learned something interesting about our Lord. Even Jesus made time for himself. Even Jesus made time for himself. In Mark chapter 1 and at verse 35, Jesus got up early in the morning, we're told, to go and to pray alone. And in Mark chapter 6 and verse 31, when the 12 disciples came back from their limited commission, Jesus said, "Come, let us depart to a place and rest for a while." Even Jesus took time for himself. So there are some things about myself that I need to make a priority, that I need to put in that jar that I don't need to neglect. What are some of those? Well, one would be self-examination. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and at verse 5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves." As I said in the beginning, our lives can get off track pretty quickly and pretty easily. And before we know it, we're way far from what we ought to be and who we should be. And from time to time, we need to be in the habit of stopping and taking an honest look at our life in light of the Scriptures. And we need to have the courage to acknowledge the deficiencies that we find in our life and the courage to make the changes that are necessary to bring ourselves back into accordance with God's will. We need to examine ourselves and see where we are in a day. And I won't say much about this, but in a day in which doctors and health care professionals are telling us that we need to examine ourselves physically, we need to do the same thing spiritually. How am I spiritually? How is my spiritual health? Where am I with regards to my maturity in the Scriptures? Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, the Hebrew writer says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Where am I at there? Am I still a novice because I'm expected to be one? Am I a new convert? Or have I obtained the level of spiritual maturity that is expected of me? Where am I at? What changes do I need to make? Am I growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. What do I need to do? I need to examine myself honestly, truthfully, in light of the Word of God. Have the courage to acknowledge what I see and have the courage to make the needed changes. Also, I need to make spiritual nutrition necessary. a priority in my life. Trust me, I don't go a day without eating. I eat every day, sometimes a number of times a day. None of us would think about going a day without eating physical food and getting that nourishment we need from physical food. But how many of us right here in this building this morning are starving ourselves spiritually because we're not feeding on the Word of God like we should? How should we? We need to feed on the Word of God like newborn babes that want to eat every 5 minutes, it seems like. If you've ever had to care for an infant, it sure seems that way. They have an appetite, and the Holy Spirit says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. What happened to your appetite for the bread of life? What happened to your hunger and your thirst for righteousness? Get your Bible out and read it. Get your Bible out and follow along. Get your Bible program out on your electronic device. Get into the Word of God. Feast on it every day. Make Bible reading and Bible study a priority in your life. You don't have to wait till January 1st to start a daily Bible reading regimen. You can start today. You can start it today. Get busy reading the Word of God, studying the Bible, feeding on the Word of God. And how about spiritual exercise? We all know we can appreciate the importance of physical exercise, but the Bible teaches us that we need to exercise ourselves in godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and at verse 8, "For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." The Bible doesn't play down the importance of physical exercise, but what the Bible does is puts it in proper perspective. Yes, it's important, but not near as important as eternity. Exercising ourselves in godliness is much more important and much more beneficial, not only in this life, but in that which is to come, because this life is going to end someday. But the exercise that we have done in godliness will go with us on into that next life. How do we exercise ourselves in godliness? You pray. You go into your inner room, like Jesus says, and you shut your door and you shut out the world. You turn off your cell phone and you talk to God. And you spend some time pouring your heart out in prayer unto God. That's how you exercise yourself in godliness. How about worship? Worship is a spiritual exercise. We worship in spirit and truth. We assemble ourselves together and we sing these songs. And as we do, we think about these words that we're saying and these words that we're hearing. And we offer these words unto God and the meanings of these words unto God. And we think about the Lord's death. We think about His body. We think about His blood. We appreciate the fact that God has given us something and we give a portion of it back unto Him. We sit and we listen to God's Word and receive a portion of it and its meaning for our life today and its motivation for us to correct our lives and to serve God more faithfully. That's an exercise in godliness. We're going to do it again this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Come back and exercise yourself in godliness. When we defend the truth instead of letting it go, but when we hear error and we challenge it with the truth, we try to teach those who are lost. When we put on the armor of God and we wear it and we use it. And brethren, on down the list we can go. There are plenty of ways in which we can exercise ourselves into godliness. But we need to do it. We need to make it a priority. This is something that we need to do for ourselves. There are other things that we can look at. There are other things that need to go into that jar. But as far as I can tell, if we get these three things in, we're doing very well. As I've heard people say long ago, God comes first, and then others come second, and myself comes last. That's the order it should be in. But these are our top three priorities. These are the rocks that need to go into the jar. Rock number one, how is your relationship with God. Not your neighbors, not your spouses, not your children. How's your relationship with God? Does God come first in your life? Or have you compartmentalized God? Have you given God limited access to your life, to your time, to your heart? How's your relationship with God? Number two, how well do you love your neighbor? Are your eyes truly open to the needs of others? Is your heart open to respond to those needs with actions and not just words? And third, how about you? How are you doing spiritually? How's your spiritual health? Are you growing like you should? Are you feeding on spiritual food like you should? Are you exercising like you should? We've all got the same size of jar. And we've all got things that we have to do. It's all about the priorities. It's all about getting our priorities right. If we don't put the first things first, if we don't put these big rocks in the jar, the devil's going to make sure we never get them in. If we don't fill up our jar, he's going to fill it up for us. And the last thing that he wants is for you and I to have our priorities right. So let's give it some attention. Let's give it some thought. Let's make some changes in our lives if we need to. And let's get our priorities straight. Maybe if you're here this morning, your priorities might be out of whack. They might not be where they ought to be. Well, getting them right has to be priority. And if your life is not right with God, you need to repent. You need to repent, you need to dump out that jar, and you need to start all over again by putting God in first and putting others in second and putting yourself and your spiritual needs in third. Repent. Come back unto the Lord. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you have yet to become a child of God, that must be a priority to you. You need to take care of that now. The water is ready. Matter of fact, the baptistry has been cleaned. You can be the first person to be baptized. Right, Mark? You can be the first person to be baptized in this water we have right back here behind us. I'm assuming you put new water in. No. The point I'm making, let's not wander too far off. The point I'm making, everything's ready if you are. It's a priority to us because we've got it filled back up. Is it a priority to you? Why not obey the gospel this morning? Why not come back home this morning? If we can help you with any spiritual matter, we stand ready to do so. We invite you to let your need be made known by coming and meeting me right up here at the front as together we stand and sing this song.